He pummels his block. He's in. Touchdown, North Dakota. Touchdown, Kaminsky. His second today. Kaminsky rolling out, and he throws to the corner. He's got a man pulled in. Touchdown, Tang Tang. Yes, sir. Touchdown, North Dakota. How about that?
UND Football 360.
Going deep. They've got something they like. It is caught deep downfield. B.J. Fleming, touchdown, North Dakota. Touchdown, North Dakota. 82-yard catch and run, and UND strikes first.
Analysis, commentary, news, and a look ahead. It's all things UND football. This is the UND Football 360 Podcast.
Touchdown, North Dakota!
With your host, Kelly Howe, and Tank McNamara.
Well, I just want to know, who was the guy that said 48-14 last week in the score prediction? I know we didn't quite hit 48. We didn't give up 14, and it was pretty much UND in control from the opening kickoff till that final whistle on Saturday in Iowa. Welcome to the pregame show as we get ready for Youngstown State at home this Saturday. And Kelly, it to me last week, it felt like Northern Iowa was going to find out what JYD was all about. And that's pretty much what happened, right?
I love to watch it. I put out a tweet, slow. It was a methodical, not a great start, but a solid start on the road.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, all right. We're, you know, first quarter, second quarter, we're dealing with it. And, but, you know, they're not scoring, so we're okay. But as the game went on, just UND starts to take over and take over. And, you know, you and I couldn't get anything going. And pretty soon it's 14-0, 21-0, 28-0. But all of a sudden, you know, quick. And, geez, it was like, this is a different team. And, the only 7 points they got was, you know, at the end, a meaningless touchdown at the end. So, yeah, it was a great, great feeling to watch that after all we've been through. Okay, that's the biggest thing. After all we've watched.
700-some days since we've done that?
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it's
been
a lot.
Murray State or something? I don't remember.
Since we'd had a win on the road.
Yeah, it's been a while. But, it was good. I mean, I think fans were relieved to see that type of a win. That was the key.
It was like watching the Alaris Center version of the Hawks in Iowa.
Right. Yep. Just, it was old. Like I compared, you know, kind of an old school feel that we used to see. Not flashy, but solid. And in all phases, it was good. You know, I liked it. At the end of the game, I was like, all right, you kind of have like a great feeling about the game. You know, what? Not a lot of highs, not a lot of lows in that game. Just solid, just great. You know, they played at a nice high level the entire game, never really dipped. And that's what key, nothing stupid happening, no real, you know, just no real huge mistakes or gaffes. The holes weren't big, you know, and stuff for Northern Iowa to run through. Just, I liked it. I really good.
I'll take a quote out of Coach Lennon, fundamentally sound. Assignment sharp. You know, that's how we played on Saturday.
Yeah, we did. It was good. That's why they got to play.
Coach Schmidt going to be on the pregame show coming up a little bit later. I know I can't wait to ask him if this was a fluke or can we win on the road. I'm sure he wants to talk more about it, right?
He said something afterwards and he's done with that.
I'll mention something. I'll bring it up then.
Hey, no. Let's talk about your inability to win on the road the last 10 years.
Yeah. This is one. Can you do two? Yeah.
I don't know if you got two in you, Coach.
Yeah.
But, you know,
were you guys smoking cigars in the locker room afterwards? And
yeah, he said something. Like he's done with talking about that. It's just not a non-talker. This is a new regime, new time, new team, new mentality, whatever. You just, whatever happens, happens. You play well, you're going to win.
What'd you think of the renovations they've done down at Northern Iowa?
Tried to notice. I don't know. I mean,
you didn't notice the purple walls that they painted in the background and the new seats. They don't have the rainbow seats.
Yeah, they got rid of those. I think.
Did you ever do a game in there?
No.
You've never been down there?
Idaho State got rid of theirs too, I believe. So then Northern Iowa got rid of theirs. There's a new roof, but they're in the midst of the rest of it. Heck of a crowd though.
Over 10,000 for homecoming.
Yeah, I mean, they seemed into it, too. You know, you watch the pregame when the announcers are on and they're showing the crowd. I mean, they had a good crowd. Credit to their fans. And but
oof. They didn't really have a lot to cheer about, though.
No, not after the kickoff.
What did Jack Michaels tell us? He was talking to a gentleman in the bathroom at halftime when he said,
"Yeah, what he said?
What did he say? Our offense isn't very good, or something like that."
Yeah, one of their media guys.
Yeah, said it was an older gentleman that had probably seen a lot of Northern Iowa football. He said, "Yeah, our offense isn't very good."
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't very good. So no, it was. But that's what you need. You want to open the league play, go 1-0. You don't have to play the best right away. You got to tune it up a little bit, right, Tank?
Yeah, and have you looked at the forecast for Saturday? Speaking of tuned up. We should look 60, here.
Mid-60s, 70, low 70s.
Are we going to have a good day of tailgating?
I think so. Yep. I think it's another good one coming up here. We've been blessed with nice weather.
Yeah, 68 and sunny here in Moorhead on Saturday. Yep. Probably Grand Forks is very similar. So you gonna hit the tailgate pretty hard? Or
I got to figure that out. Yeah, we're still working on the timing of everything because we got a morning event going on. So, yeah, we're going to work on the time. When do we arrive in Grand Forks is what we do not know that answer yet.
And that's what, do you like the 3 o'clock start? Because I'm getting stuff done around the house.
Right.
It's easier to be a UND football fan and stay married.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's that. And then I think, I don't know if this is why they did it, but early in the year, there's all the youth football and Saturday mornings, things like that. So I get it. There's no reason to push a noon start early in the year. There's just so much. And I think it has a little bit to do with the harvest. You know, I mean, they're probably taking into account, okay, you know, they get the wheat's probably off, but, you know, the beans, that type of thing coming up now. Well, unfortunately, the, you know, beets are pushed back so far now because it's just way too warm. But normally that would probably be going on right now to where you got the beets coming off. So then they're giving people time. My point was they're giving people time to get to the game. And I like that. Yep, early in the year, I definitely like the fact that they're giving them time to get all these things out of the way. But later in the year, I will say, you know, once we get towards November, I do like those noon starts. I don't know. It's like you said, there's not as much you can do anymore or that you have to do in the yard or anything in the garage. So now I like the noon starts, kind of gets the day off rolling, and you head out there and you don't have to worry about wasting, you know, what you're going to do all morning. That's it. That's your plan for the day.
Does Mike Manassa have any pull? He likes to duck hunt, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's probably out.
Well, that's what they're mixing in that too. Okay. Yeah. So there's a lot of things, you know, I'm good with the 3 o'clock. So I think I like the change. I mean, they're going to multiple ones of these for a while and we'll see. I mean, later, I didn't even look. Do we got a noon one later? Let me see. I didn't even check that out. Let me go back to what do we got here? Oh, boy. We got Indiana State's 3 o'clock. NDSU's 1 o'clock. Okay. SDSU's 1 o'clock. So no noons this year. So a 3 and a couple ones. But, yeah, it was it'll be good. Be great. It'll be a great environment. I think people are feeding off the energy. And the ticket sales are pretty good. And I'm thinking, you know, it'll be 11 again.
It better be.
Should. They're playing well.
And you know what? I don't want to sound like I'm kicking the drum down the road, but whatever that old saying is. But get up on first down when we're on defense.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Get off your butts. Make that place loud. And it does make a difference. Especially early in the game. Do you notice that?
Energy. Yeah, just energy of the team.
If we can do it right away and not wait till third down.
The guys in the end zone are doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, the guys up on the Cowhawks are banging the cage down there. They're giving it all. They're doing it, but you got to do it on the sides too.
Guys on the field are hitting the pads.
Yeah.
Last home game, we'll have to ask Schmitty, but I didn't notice the true freshman on the sideline. They weren't waving. They weren't there. It was just guys in pads, I think. So I wonder if...
Were they in pads?
No. Maybe they were.
I don't know. Yeah,
can you address everyone now? Did you notice that?
Well, I wasn't down there last game. I was just walking or moving around a lot. That's a good question because I thought I remember them the first game.
The first game they were there.
Okay. But now they're changing it up. Huh. Yeah.
Maybe the true freshmen don't get to be on the sideline anymore. Maybe they want them... In the student section, maybe leading the cheers there. It's not a bad idea.
There you go.
The 360 pregame show is brought to you by Rumors Sports Bar, Grill, and Casino. That'd be a great place to go before tailgating. I did that on the home opener because I like Rumors so much. So I needed a tailgate before just the tailgate.
Warmed up for tailgate.
Yeah. Well, they're big, frosty mugs of beer. So delicious over there. Thanks, Billy. We appreciate it. Don't forget the Development Homes, Inc., gaming, simulcast, horse racing, electronic pull tabs, blackjack, pig wheel. You know a little bit about the simulcast horse racing, don't you?
Yeah. I know that you can guess on horses and act like you know what you're talking about, but yeah, it goes all day. It's actually pretty fun. You want to have a good time, go do that. You're probably not going to win, but hey, it's something to do.
Now you can do, you can have a handicapper with you. I've heard you can ask AI, artificial intelligence, for help with parlays now.
Oh, really? Well, actually, now you bring that up, wouldn't the horse racing, like, if that has that intelligence in it already, if those horses have, you know, data, wouldn't it be able to spit out something? I mean, that would be what it's for, wouldn't it? Pitting 8 horses against each other, which one's the best, which one, you know what I mean?
That but that's what your odds are already. You get the odds on the horses, so.
Right.
But how deep does it go into it? It just takes the thinking out of it. I don't know. I don't gamble that much. Toasted Frog, downtown Grand Forks. Wow. That would be a great place to go for dinner on Saturday night after a big UND win. Take your missus there after the game.
Oh, yeah.
Leave the kids at home or in the parking lot at the Alaris. Let them fend for themselves and then go pick them up after dinner.
The pickles. Yeah.
Let's see. Interstate Industrial, Oil Field Services. That's a great crew, isn't it? Good supporters. And
Party Shade.
Kelly Howe Agency, Nodak Insurance. What's that phone number?
701-532-0624.
You're writing properties in Arizona, Minnesota, and North Dakota. Again. If you have all three.
Yeah, again. Oh, it's been good. Good fall. You know, it's there seems like, and here's what people are probably gonna notice is that rates are coming down a little bit. Ooh. So now there's a little bit of a auto rates coming down for people finally after 3 years of going up constantly on everyone. I mean, I'm sure everyone listening's shaking their head. But I think the home prices always are good, but auto rates should be going down a little bit for people out there. So it's a welcome change. Put a little more money back in their pocket.
And tanklogo.com. That's right. For any promotional products, corporate apparel, print, anything with your logo, just find it at tanklogo.com. And we're excited. We're just putting the final touches on some of our new apparel items that could be coming in the next couple weeks. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, look for those, folks. Tank is working hard. We're going to get a store up. So order.
Yeah.
I'd be able to hop on, order what we have available. We're coming up with some designs. Possible JYD designs. We're not sure.
Don't give it away.
Tank, cut it. Cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. we're working on some unique ones that we think people will want. It'll help the program type of thing. So, yeah, look for that coming up in the near future.
And little baby, Mr. Rucker.
Yeah, got the little baby. That one will be up. That was a good one away. My son wears that to school right now. So that's
does he wear the one? Did you get him the one with the no sleeves?
Oh, the sleeve monster? No. No, he has a regular gray t-shirt with sleeves.
Yeah. That picture with little baby with no sleeves, he looks pretty badass. And he's playing pretty good, too, number zero now for UND. He's playing at a high level. We'll get more into that. But let's get into that Kelly Howe Agency game review. 35-7 win over Northern Iowa. Dominant effort from bell to bell. I like that. Boxing. Meaningless TD at the end. Never call it garbage time, but the coaches hate that because they're always evaluating. But I know it was hard to see the shutout go bye-bye, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. I've been a part of those before. You're kind of, so the starters are on the sideline, and I've been on both where when I was young, I went in at the end. you know, type of thing. And you're trying to hold on and trying to do those things. And then I've been at, you know, when you're older, you're a starter and you come out and then you want those guys to uphold it. Well, sometimes if the other team leaves the starters in and stuff, it's like, well, okay, you know, I get it,
yeah.
You know, but they battled. I mean, they battled them down the field on that drive. They almost got it, but they hit a throw into the end zone and that's fine. But, the, you know, there's nobody's
nice
fault
point
or anything, you know,
is that we're talking about those guys,
right?
Getting and them we've on the field. Seen it multiple times now already. We're getting some depth out there right now this year, the way we're playing.
Yeah, they're getting in the games. That's the key. You got to get them in game rep so they're ready to go, if not even this year, next year. Because the big jump you take is once you've played. You know, like freshman year to sophomore year.
You play right
jump.
Away your freshman year?
Yeah, eventually.
Year two, right?
Towards the end.
You redshirt?
Yeah, redshirt, and then the, you know, redshirt freshman year, you want to call it. Halfway through the year, I started. I started at safety, and James went over to corner, and but then when I came back sophomore year, everything slowed down because the jitters are gone. The speed's gone. You've seen it now. And you understand that the freshman year, it's week to week. You don't know what the hell's going on. Like it's
like
just
a deer in the headlights,
no, the
right?
game's yeah. flying. The game's just moving. You've never seen anything that they're throwing at you before. You haven't seen the speed. You haven't seen these linemen randomly coming out and trying to hit you and you're not ready. You know what I mean? It's just, you're just not ready for anything because you haven't seen it. Well, then the next year comes around, it just slows down and you start to notice stuff before it's happening. You can envision what's going to, you know, and that's where the more kids you get on the field this year, the better it'll be for the future because they're going to be ready to go next year.
Let's talk about our quarterback. Wow. He's playing at a high, high level right now. And yeah. I think making great decisions,
yeah. Yeah, you that's, know, that's a big one.
Controlling the game. And did you like how we came out and threw the ball?
Yes. I like as long as you're completing them. You know, I mean, it's like
a lot of hard passes,
no,
was it? It
yep,
was just,
as long as you're completing them and yeah. moving the ball, it's the same difference. But I've seen Isaac has done that a few times this year where he just came out. You'd expect him to maybe plow a little bit. Well, he's doing the opposite. Let's pass to open up the run, get a little balance going eventually. But right away, we're going to throw a lot and just kind of loosen it up type of thing and run Jerry. He likes to run Jerry early, you know, and just try to get that established. Hey, we're going to run our quarterback today. So now they got to worry about that, right? And, yeah, it's a unique one thing that UND fans should notice. Isaac Frickley's game plans are unique. They're not cookie. You can't really predict what he's going to call. Like, you're not seeing, you know, inside zone constantly on yeah. first and 10, you know what I mean? Or second and eight, let's try to get some more yards to make it short on third down. So he runs up the, it's not, you don't know, really know what's coming. And I like that. It's fun. It's a fun offense to watch.
And he's got a lot of resources. Like guys are stepping up, making plays and it's coming from all over the field too, isn't it?
10. Yeah. I put a note here, 10 players caught a pass again. I think the one game was 11. Another game was 10. This one's 10 again. So, yeah, there's and Kristen Hoskins, I made a note. He was back again now. I think there was he had a passing away in the family, I think is what happened.
Yeah,
and,
death
you
in
know,
the family.
And so our condolences to Kristen. And he came back, and it was good to see him because you can notice when he catches the ball and starts moving in space, he's pretty quick. You know, and he's good. So I like that little, he was a change up, put it that way, in the flats. And yeah, it was a diverse and Jerry back to him, 20 of 23, 246 yards, 4 touchdowns. It's about as good as it gets, Tank. I mean,
I didn't look at that closely. I didn't realize he was 20 for, he only missed 3 balls all day.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can probably go back and figure out, you know, a lot of times, sometimes the 3 aren't even his fault.
Well, he caught his own pass.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We hadn't seen that since, I think, Brad Johnson scored a touchdown for the Vikings that
right,
way.
Right, yeah. No, that was pretty funny. That's when you know things are going well, right? But, yeah, one guy I want to bring up right away, B.J. Fleming, the transfer. I mean, we're gonna probably ask Coach about him coming up in a little bit, but maybe since Clive George's, I don't remember a deep threat we had where he runs a post, runs a fade, whatever, and catches it and pulls away and he's gone. He had a, what, an 82-yarder and a 77-yarder in this game now. And that's what we've been missing. You know, everyone's been wanting it and wanting it, and we just haven't had a guy who can really do that. But how smooth is he when he gets moving? You know, he's okay, you know, running the route. Hey, okay, you know, you can see him running. You can see the corner running with him. But after he catches the ball and pulls away, I mean, that is like butter smooth. Just that stride. It's like he's gone. He knows he's gone. He's like, I didn't realize he was that fast.
No, and maybe a lot of people didn't. But they do know.
I don't know if our staff realized it either, because there's no way, because he didn't do much down at Northern Arizona. Like, he really didn't. What was he, their fifth, sixth receiver?
Yeah.
He wasn't that good. So that's why, you know, in the portal, you don't quite know what you're getting, and you can kind of scoff at it a little bit, like, oh, okay, we're getting a guy who had a couple hundred yards at Northern Arizona. Yippee, you know, type of thing. But then they get put in the correct positions with a better team in a better program, and all of a sudden they blow up, and you see, you know, so that's why how many guys are sitting around the country, really, but you got it, you're gambling, you're finding that guy, but there, this can happen every year if you get the right guy who's just not being utilized correctly. So yeah, he's basically right now, he's our guy. He changes things up, and he kind of takes the top off that defense for us.
Well, we got enough other pieces in the cupboard here right now too. He is gonna go probably get some one-on-one coverage, because you gotta figure out a lot of things with our offense right now. Like, Isaac Frickley is unpredictable.
Yeah, and running the quarterback helps too.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to be able to run the quarterback in this day and age. We've said it all year, and they're doing it. They're living it right now, and Jerry's just got to minimize the hits. That's the key. I mean, I think he ran over another guy last week, kind of towards the side of the field. If I recall, it wasn't brutal or anything, but you know, we're just got to remember it's 12 game season here, and we need him to start 12. So, but we're gonna run him, so he's gonna get hit. We're just saying minimize your own hits, you know, where you're initiating. But yeah, it's a nice change up to have him doing that. Yeah, Isaac's doing a nice job. It's good right now, but it's going to get tougher. It's only getting tougher starting with this week in Youngstown.
What do you think of our running backs right now?
Well, yeah, what do we got? Well, Lay didn't run much last week. I thought that was interesting. He only had two carries. Z-Barth had seven, I believe, six or seven. Simon, Sawyer. He's our guy. He's emerged as the, you know, we knew he's the home run threat.
Yeah.
But he's kind of between the tackles too, because the holes are there. So he doesn't really need to be hitting it hard and dragging guys. He's just getting through the hole. So yeah, Sawyer's the guy right now. And I think, Z-Barth, he's just a piece of it. Yeah. He's next, coming up next, but he had similar carries. So I know we've gotten a lot of questions on Twitter about what's going on with Z-Barth or whatever. Well, I don't know. It's just, I don't know if this offense, you know, they're going week to week. It's just, who's the hot hand? How is he feeling? And that's one thing you'll notice with Frickley running the offense. He kind of goes with the hot hand. Wide receivers, too. He'll have the guys out there that he wants in there, and he'll run the way, he'll throw to who he thinks is the hot hand. I mean, he kind of just, and I like that. He's not just running the entire playbook. He's running what's working, and he thinks is only what's going to work. And so it's a little different, but I think, you know, that right now they're trying to spread out the carries. You know, it looks good, and it's just not what we expect. We expected a little more running with Z-Barth, but he's still there. He's still at 63 yards, 67 yards, something like that.
And the big run in the fourth quarter, I think. That was a nice run.
Well, and he's a good fourth quarter guy.
Yeah.
He'll be fresh.
I wouldn't want to wrap up around those legs.
Man, not when it's 28-0 or 35-0, no.
Would you say our defense is just getting better and better every week? You can see it?
I think so. They're getting used to the scheme. Yep, I think they're getting used to where they need to be, how they need the checks, the calls. You don't see any palms this guy looking at each other, you know, which I expected more of.
Yeah.
So I think they're figuring out this week will be a challenge, but they're, they just look confident out there. They're playing fast. And I've never really described this well, but gap integrity, gap sound, they are all spread out equally. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, when teams run the ball, there isn't a huge hole. And we're like, what the heck? You know, like, I mean, they're running 5 yards downfield before they need to think, type of thing. And they're just, it's just more sound is what it is. And I think that comes from an understanding. I think it comes from putting the players in the right positions. You know, like we said, John Wiltshire, number one, he's your Rover nickel guy. He is in the right position quite a bit. I mean, that guy's all over the place. And he is coming up with big plays. He's dropped a few interceptions, yes, but those will come. I think he'll catch it eventually, you know, because he keeps giving himself chances. That's the key. And so, yeah, I just like this defense. It seems sound. That's the biggest compliment I can give it. It's sound. It's slowing teams down. They're not getting big plays. And for the most part, and our run defense is excellent. Wow. What are we giving them? We're 93 yards a game right now. Rushing is all we're giving up. Now, obviously that number, we've got some big tests coming up here and starting with this week, but that is a great sign moving forward that a new defense like this can be that tough up front.
Well, you got that. And then our last game, 9 tackles for a loss and 4 sacks. That just shows me that the guys up front are doing their job right now.
I think so. They're active.
It's where it all starts, right?
Front four, good. You know, inside linebacker, I haven't watched as much. I mean, they're around. You see them, you know, Devereaux, McNeil, Parks. You see those guys, yes. But I've been kind of watching the front a lot more just to try to get a feel. And they're holding up well, you know, and we don't have a lot. There's not a lot of depth up there. So we need them all to stay healthy. But the ones that are in there, they're playing their ass off. And they're battling, and at the end of every game, I guarantee they are sore.
For a guy that played the 3-4, would you have liked to play it in this defense now, the more you watch it?
Yeah, it seems fun. Looks like these guys are having fun.
This would have been like fun. You would
have. Well, Zach Lewis, another Northern Arizona guy, he got another interception this week.
He's fast.
He's good. He's good player. He's figuring it out. You know what I mean? Like, because there's three of those guys out there now, and they're all, you know, I don't know the nuances of it, but they're getting it, and it's starting to look good. And once again, he put himself in a position to make a play, and he made it. So you got to give him credit. And, yeah, I think it would be fun. These guys look like they're, you know, they're having fun. They're the energy. I love the energy. The folks have to, you know, that are watching have to be intrigued.
That energy we see from our special teams unit, you're seeing it now defensively too. Now I mean they're going after it and getting after
kickoff
it
kickoff team. Yeah, I love our kickoff team. Vegas guys are good. Well, they found the right pieces. Like I said before, you gotta have, you know, I mean, there's a safety, there's a couple that hang back, a couple go on the edge. You gotta have about seven that really want to get after it, and this is all they have to do because they're probably not going to play it. It's backup receivers too. It's not defensive guys. There's backup receivers running down there. Those guys know they're not going to get in the game barring injuries. So, hey, you might as well lay it on the line for every kickoff, and it seems like they're doing that.
It is the Development Homes guest portion of our show, and Kelly, you couldn't find anyone else? You know, boy, we're pretty good at this every week, but I guess Eric Schmidt will settle for that, huh?
All right.
Well, how are you doing, Schmitty?
What a letdown.
Letdown? Hey, it's that JYD mentality, man, right?
Yeah, I know.
How are you guys today?
We are doing great. Thanks to you and your staff and your team. Great win on Saturday. Feel good?
Yeah, I think, like I said before, man, this is always about the guys who go out in between the white lines. They're the guys who are laying it on the line and doing all the work. So it was awesome to be able to see them go out on the road and play well and you know, just kind of methodically, you know, put some distance in between ourselves and I think a solid team, especially in their own building. So it was fun at the end of the game. There was a pretty good contingent of green and white down there. And at the end, they were doing a good job of hanging around and obviously a lot of their people had left. So it was fun to be able to just have that experience with the guys.
Yeah, we'll get to some questions, by the way. We threw this out on Twitter the other day that you were going to be on, so thanks to Twitter, they got some questions for you, Schmitty. But BJ Fleming, boy, we were talking about him earlier, and God, this guy is showing some speed that we maybe didn't think he had, and nice product for you out of Arizona. You know, there are some nice things in Arizona, aren't they?
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, BJ has just gotten better and better here. I really felt like, you know, the last maybe 2 to 3 weeks, you know, Malik, Coach Bradshaw has really poured into him. He does a great job with our receiver room. And then obviously Coach Frichty too, as well, being a, you know, a college and an NFL wide receiver, has a lot of knowledge and high expectations for that position too, as well. And I think, you know, BJ has been a guy that, you know, I think in the past he's always shown glimpses. Everybody knows he can run. And sometimes I think, you know, when you're fast, sometimes you get labeled as, hey, I'm going to, you know, continue just to run certain routes. And most of those routes are down the field, whether that's, you know, verticals or posts or whatever. And now I think, you know, we've really challenged him to be the same guy every day, to, you know, have that starving mindset, you know, all the things that we talk about, relentless pursuit of continuous improvement. And he's really, I feel like the last few weeks has really, you know, taken that to heart, and he's really improved. And now he's, you know, the way he's practicing, there's a way you have to do it. I always say, hey, you got to be loyal to winning every single week. You got to start back to neutral and put in the work that winning requires. And he's been able to do that here the last 3 weeks. So definitely excited. I think there's even more in that kid yet too, as well. So, you know, hopefully, you know, he can become a guy that's a problem here, you know, for the rest of the league.
You know, I think I speak for most fans when we didn't quite know what we had with Fleming. You know, his numbers were just, you know, decent average down in Northern Arizona. Now that's obviously a different program than this. So did you guys quite know, you know, did you feel that he was a deep threat, you know, that could pull away from guys like he did out at Montana when you were recruiting him?
Yeah, we did. I think, and that was one thing we really felt like after assessing the team and evaluating what we had a year ago, that we felt like we needed to be able to, you know, be able to get more explosive plays, you know, and I think that's something that's really been, you know, a priority for us, is that we need to, you know, I tell Isaac all the time, like, hey, at least 2 times a quarter, you know, 8 times a game, let's push the ball down the field, or at least attempt to be able to do that. And you got to have the right people, you know, who have the right skill set in order to do that. And he's definitely a guy that can, you know what I mean, run by some guys. He can get on the top of safety's toes in a hurry. And like I said, I think it's just, you know, one of those things where it's always been in there, and you get around the right people that can help develop you. You know, they can pull that out of you and help you get to a place that maybe you can't get to on your own. And I think that's where BJ has an opportunity to go right now.
Well, and even now, he's one transfer from Northern Arizona. Your other transfer from Northern Arizona, Zach Lewis, he is smooth as well out there. I remember when he came in, he was a big, all Big Sky performer, so a little bit more of a known entity, but the way he plays out there is just so smooth too. I mean, can you talk a little bit about Zach and what, you know, I mean, are we seeing, has he scratched the surface yet, or is he still got a lot more in front of him?
Yeah, great question, Kelly. I really like Zach Lewis a lot. Just, he's brought a, you know, the right personality, a maturity. He's got some charisma. You know, the rest of the guys really like him. He's got a great sense of humor, comfortable in his own skin. And then he goes out and he loves football. Like, I mean, he loves football, grew up in Florida, you know, moved to Arizona, played for some really good high school programs in Hamilton there in Chandler. And I think he's been consistent, you know, throughout his entire career, really. I mean, he runs, he hits, he's got really good contact courage. He tracks ball carriers really well. You know, certain guys you'll watch when they come from the top down and they take poor angles. It's just not natural for them. They'll run into some of the other defenders that are running to the ball too as well. There was a play in spring ball where, you know, it was a screen pass to the sideline and he was not even looking, you know, looking at the ball carrier and weaving his way in and out of traffic. And it's just a play that sticks out in my mind that, hey, like there's a natural instinct of being able to how to track a football. And it was really, really impressive. And him and BJ were really good friends. So actually, when we took BJ, he was like, hey, were you guys looking for a safety too as well? And we said, yeah, you know, we're definitely interested. And then when we turned on Zach's film, we were really interested, you know what I mean, after that. So to be able to get those two guys, they've really helped improve our team here in a short amount of time.
I will say when he's returning punts, though, has he ever made your heart skip a beat a few times? Because yeah. That kid's yeah. a little too fearless. But yes. That, I mean, I like his confidence, but my goodness, I'm like, oh, he'll go after every ball that's coming at him.
Well, yeah, there's definitely, I call it the longest 6 seconds in sports. You know, being able to catch punts is not easy. Yeah. And, you know, obviously now you got a defensive guy doing it. So there can be some, you know, some cause for concern at times. And we're really, you know, coaching him hard on the decision-making process. And honestly, I felt like the other night was the first time he didn't go attack a few balls. I know he went after the one, which we didn't like on their sideline. He felt like it got close and possibly could have hit one of our guys there. But I thought there was too many footballs on the ground. You know, I think that's one thing, the hidden yardage in football in your return game. Every time the ball hits the ground, if they've done a study on it, it usually rolls about 17 yards. So you're losing almost two first downs. So being able to just go up and make a fair catch in traffic on a shorter punt, you know, is really important. And, you know, I thought he let a couple go the other night that usually he'll go run up and catch. And a lot of times I want him to fair catch it. And, you know, I just remember him coming off the field. He took a big shot, you know, at Montana. And I was like, hey, man, like, that's a fair catch. It's short. It's in the middle. He's like, you know, I go, you don't have to take big hits on it. And he was, hey, man, it's football. Like, I'm fine taking a hit. And I go, I know, but you play safety. You know, like, we got to keep you healthy there too as well. So, just the type of dude he is. Like I said, he loves ball. Like, he's up here in our offices all the time. He asks great questions. Like I said, his teammates really enjoy playing with him. I think he's got, you know, an attitude of gratitude for being here, for getting poured into, for being around, you know what I mean, a culture that we have here and that he's added to. I think he appreciates that. So he's been a great addition, you know, to the team and to the community.
I'll be in Mesa for Christmas, so maybe I'll keep my eye out down there. Maybe Arizona could be pretty good for us, huh?
Yeah. I know Kelly's always been high on it.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, they've worked out well.
This has been fun, Schmitty. Isaac Frickty, boy, we were talking about how unpredictable he has been in calling plays. As a defensive guy, how would you like to game plan against this guy?
Yeah, I mean, we do it all fall camp, right? All training camp, all spring ball. No, I think the thing I really like about Isaac is, one, he has some really, really strong beliefs in how to run the football. I think he's creative in how he wants to run the football. I always feel, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, you need to get good, you know, at maybe two or three run schemes, maybe four or five pass schemes. And then it's, you know, plays are expensive. The more plays that you're running and concepts, I think, you know, the less times guys I feel like can, at a certain point, won't play fast anymore. But formations and motions and shifts and those types of things, those are not, you know. And I think he does a great job of being able to present the same thing different ways, you know, dress things up a lot of different ways and really try to keep it as simple as he can for our guys, but make it look complex, you know, to the defense. And I think that's the art of calling plays, you know. And I think he does have a good feel for, you know, when to, how to set things up. There's a sequencing of plays that I always feel like you're trying to do, you know, to be able to, you know, come back to certain things or just make certain little tweaks, you know, to plays that you've run in the past, just to be able to take advantage maybe of a, you know, an edge rusher or an aggressive corner or a safety that wants to, you know, come off the roof in a hurry. And I just think he has a really good feel, you know what I mean, for being able to do that. The other thing I really like, you know, about Isaac is I think, you know, his relationship with the players is obviously, you know, really, really tight, but, you know, they can get a really good feel throughout the week as far as in which situation that he's going to call which plays. Like, they have Jerry has a feel when he's out there of being able to say, hey, when the play comes in, he's like, I figured it was going to be this play. You know what I mean? At this time. And I think as a player, you know, you have some confidence when you're thinking the exact same way as your coach. So just to be able to get inside his mind and for those two guys to be on the same page is really important between coordinator and quarterback.
You ready for a question from X, I guess it's not Twitter anymore.
Sure.
Marty Shade says, I want to ask about the utilization of Gavin Zeebarth between the tackles. I feel like he should be getting more carries.
Yeah, I think I would agree. You know, we're I think we got to continue to do a good job of, you know, using his. I think that's his, you know, his secret sauce is just the body blows, right, of being able to continue to, you know, just pound away on opposing defenses. I think, you know, the one thing right now is I do think Sawyer is playing at a high level, you know, and Sawyer's been able to do some things too as well, both on the perimeter and through the middle too as well. But I definitely think Gavin's a guy too as well that, you know, he's just got to stay the course here. You know, we got to continue to keep incorporating him into the plan. But I definitely feel like there's going to be some games here where, you know, he's going to be a huge piece of what we're doing and be able to have more carries. And like I said, I think, you know, he's one of those guys that has an accumulating effect on a defense, like those 2 and 3 yard runs sometimes that happen in the first and the second quarter turn into 10 and 12 yard runs in the third and the fourth, just because he's a big body that's hard to tackle. And you saw that even at the end of the Northern Iowa game, we put him in there at the end just to, you know, I mean, to be able to feel like, hey man, if you guys still want to play hard, like you're going to have to tackle a bigger, more physical back. And he broke a few there at the end of the game. So I agree. I think we got to continue to, you know, keep using him. Now the one thing I will say last week, which was kind of different than most games that have a score and an outcome like they were last week, we only played 52 plays on offense. We played 79 on defense. So a little bit of that is just because of, you know, you score on defense, you go right back out there. So they went 9 plays, we turn them over, then they go 10 plays and punt. Like that's, you know, that's 20 plays. Our offense wasn't out on the field really all that much, you know, in the first half. So when there's only 52 plays, like that's not a lot of plays for 3 running backs. And we have some depth at running back too as well. And I think all those guys, you know, need to continue to improve and get better. And there's a lot of competition at that position. So you got to play well during the week in order to get on the field on the weekend.
Hey, we had another question from Twitter. Speaking with about Javance, is he at this point, is he a backup quarterback, you know, only, or is there any plans, you know, to get him in a mixed use type of situation with Jerry or, you know, that type of thing, I guess, just because he's brought in with, you know, great hype and people are just kind of wondering if he'll get in there in different packages or if just the offense is playing real well right now, so you just don't want to change it up.
Yeah, I think it's probably more of the latter right now. You know, he's getting a ton of reps yet throughout the week. We're still not, you know, doing anything different with Jerry. We feel like, you know, Jerry needs to be able to run the football and use his legs in order for our offense to be successful. I think, you know, right now we feel like, hey, Javance is ready to go if something happens to Jerry. But, you know, there's obviously, you know, as a quarterback and I think Jerry – it's been playing really, really well that, you know, he's the guy right now that's earned it to go out there and get the, you know, get the reps. And if we feel like there's a spot where, you know, a matchup or, you know, a certain whatever that might be scheme or something like that, that we do that Javance does better, because that was definitely some of the thought process we had, you know, a month ago or a little over a month ago that, hey, we could use him, then we'll still, you know, use Javance in those situations for sure.
Another question. Tell us about the impact that Brandon Bostic has brought to the program, because he, you know, a very, very big name, you know, out there. It was kind of a cool deal when we heard he was coming in to coach, you know, with his background. And he
looks
positive.
Like he could still play, by the way.
Yeah. Looks like $1 million still. It's like, wow. But yeah, tell us a little bit about Brandon.
Well, first of all, I mean, just a super great guy. I mean, about as humble as you can be. I mean, no job too, you know, for an NFL guy to kind of start at the bottom, you know, of a coaching staff. And, you know, some of the things at times that you're asking some of your QCs to be able to do, it's not the most glamorous stuff in the world. And he has no problem, you know, doing those things. Like, he is like a sponge right now. I think he's found kind of his calling again. Like, I think, you know, when you're that successful of a player and you play in the NFL and your NFL career ends, there's like, hey, now what? You know, like, what's the next step for me? And you know, he came in and was really gung-ho at the start. And sometimes that can, you know, as the season goes on, like that can, you know, dim a little bit as the season goes on. And he's been, you know, it's like he's a kid in a candy store every single day, you know, that he shows up at practice. And I think the one thing he does a great job of is, and he's been a player for so long. And sometimes when you haven't been a player for a long time, you maybe forget some of those little things, but he'll just pull guys aside, you know, and just talk to them one-on-one and give them some wisdom. And, you know, I think it's, you know, just as they're, you know, learning from mistakes. And I say it all the time, like, hey, smart guys learn from, you know, their own mistakes, but wise guys learn from other people's mistakes. And he's, you know, had a lot of success, but, you know, has made some mistakes too as well. And just with all that experience and, you know, the highs, the lows that go into playing football, like he's just a great resource and just an outstanding person. Like I said, I think just, you know, the humility that he has, how hard he works, he pours into our players. And I just, you know, you look at where our tight ends are at right now with, you know, him and Coach Haug. And I think that's, once again, it's the relationships. It's the expertise. I mean, there's a lot of talent, not only, you know, in the players in that room, but in the coaching staff there too as well. So just really fortunate. Love that Brandon's here. Love that he's enjoying it. He loves Grand Forks. He's like, hey, man, this is a great college town, a great college football town. You know, he's obviously now recognizable too as well. So I think, you know, there's some of that too as well where, you know, he just really enjoys the people and how much they support the program here. And it's just been a positive experience on both sides. And I think, you know, he's going to end up, you know, a guy like him who's connected like he is. And now you really, you know, you dig into coaching and you become more knowledgeable and better and really, you know, sharpen your tools there too as well. Like he's a guy who can climb the ladder here in a hurry.
We had a few different people ask about the Alaris Center locker rooms. Now, I don't know if that's even on the agenda. Have you heard, with all the renovations and all the new buildings going on, I suppose everyone, you know, is kind of wondering, well, is there anything left to even upgrade? And we've had a couple questions about Alaris Center locker rooms. Is there any need for, you know, a renovation there, or have you heard anything in that end?
Yeah, I think we can do some things there here now. Obviously, with everything that we've done on campus, you know, as far as our practice facility goes, I think it's, you know, second to none as far as, like I said, just the efficiency of it, how well it caters to the players, you know, just all the amenities that you need in order to train, in order to practice, in order to recover, all those types of things. And I think now, you know, there comes a time, obviously Alaris now is 24 years old and you gotta continue to push the envelope, right? And do a good job out in our game day facility now too as well. So I think that's something that I'd really like to, you know, sit down here now as we get kind of into the winter season again and see what you know, what we can do there to make that place even more you know, the tradition of UND football to be more of a factor, you know, in that building. I've always felt this way, Kelly, like if you walk into a stadium, you should be able to learn something about that program when you walk around the stadium that you didn't know, you know. And I think a lot of good places, a lot of the stadiums I've been around that I really like they have that, right? Like, oh, I didn't know so-and-so played here, or I didn't know, you know, this person was in this game at that time, or that this program won, you know, whatever bowl game or whatever it is. So I think that's something yet that we can continue to improve out there is to be able to, you know, just really market it and brand it more UND football. And that includes that locker room too as well.
How about you put a fat head up of Hall of Famer Kelly Howe? That would dress it up in there, right?
Yeah, fat. Nobody exactly. Wants
that. And everyone can slap that big bald head on the way out to the field and let's go win another one, boys.
Yeah, everybody that sees him, it's funny because you know, some of the players, you know, is the guys that go into the Hall of Fame, like everybody knew Randy Harless played D-line. Everyone's like, God, Kelly Howe was this DB, huh? He was that tall and long and played safety. Like they were shocked. I think everybody thinks he was like probably a college tight end or wide receiver. So it's it's interesting how guys think nowadays. But yeah, those are the type of things, right? Like Hall of Fame, NFL guys. Just, you know, the tradition, the culture of the program, like all those things I think are important, you know, trophies, banners, whatever you can think of. I think, you know, as long as it's done in a first class manner, we can continue to, like I said, push the envelope and, you know, with recruiting and stuff like that too, as well, when guys walk out there and see, you know, how we come out to games and, and the atmosphere and the energy that everything creates, I think is it's all important. So we want to make it as good as we can make it. And I think everybody, including our administration, the people at the Alaris Center have been awesome. Everybody's got a growth mindset, and everybody's open to trying to make it the very best that we can make it.
Just before we go, question about Saturday. Defensively, boy, you guys got your hands full. How much has their quarterback kept you up at night this week?
Yeah, I mean, he's a problem. Like, he does a really good job, obviously. I think the one thing where he's really improved, Tank, is he's become a better thrower. You know, as you watch him a year ago, I think if you told him, hey, man, you got to drop back and throw, and that's how you're going to win a football game, like, no way, no how. And I think now, you know, he's really, you can tell, spent a lot of time in the offseason and gotten better there, and has really, you know, his third down stuff, I think, you know, a year ago, like, he's pulling it and scrambling, like, right now, as soon as his first read and his first progression is covered, and now they look way better. You know, I think the other kid, like, the quarterback's obviously, you know what I mean, a really good player and presents a lot of issues, not only with his arm, but, you know, with his feet too as well. Like, he circles more guys. I don't know if I've seen a guy, you know, running down the sidelines for big plays more than him, you know, in a game. He finds a way to get to the sideline, so he doesn't take really hardly any big hits. He's a strong guy, you know, and then he just circles guys, and people are always chasing him out of bounds. So that's been something that we've really tried to hit on here, you know, early on in the week. The different ways and the different coverages that we want to play, and which ones are, you know, that we need spies, which ones are more risky, like, you know, just, you know, the risk reward of calling certain things has probably been the one thing that maybe keeps you up at night a little bit. And then I just think their receivers going along, like I said before, with them being a better team throwing the football, I think number four, the Tomczak kid on their team, is really, really good. And when I say he's, you know, he's not anything, like, he's not a 6'5 kid. He's not, you know, one of these guys that just jumps out of the gym and is a physical, you know what I mean, genetic specimen. But, God, does he compete hard. I just like him. He's just a good football player and finds a way to get separation and finds a way to keep their offense out on the field. So this is definitely going to be, you know, a four-quarter battle, and our guys are going to be fighting every single down to be able to try to get off the field, and it's going to be fun, man. It's why you sign up for this, and you know, I'm excited to see how our guys play and the game and how it unfolds here on Saturday.
Hashtag fill the corners. Let's do it again this Saturday. Sound good to you, Schmitty?
If there's a week that we need it, where every single person in that building can will our football team to help us win a game, like, this is that week. Like, we definitely need that place rocking and rolling. And, you know, you can make it stressful, you know, on those guys too as well, because if we can get off and get into that guy, you know, and get in his face early on and make his life hard because those guys up front are stressed out and don't know, you know, when the ball is going to be snapped and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's one of those weeks where we're going to need everybody in the stands to be able to help us out.
And you can get up on first and second down, right? And cheer too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's, I'm helping you. I want to see it because we're so close. I mean, third down, it's, that place is nuts. I want to see it on first and second, and we'll do it this Saturday. So, Schmitty, we'll do our part. You do your part, and let's fly that W one more week at Memorial Stadium.
Sounds good. You guys have a great week. Thanks.
Well, let's take a trip around the Missouri Valley, thanks to our friends with the delicious pickles at the Toasted Frog in downtown Grand Forks. Great date night. Bring the wife. Go out with some friends after the game. Great meal. You can enjoy it. Toasted Frog, downtown Grand Forks. North Dakota State and Illinois State, 33-16.
Good game.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched some right away. I haven't watched much NDSU this year, but I watched some right away. It was a good game. Yeah, I mean, it was.
They got much of a team this year?
Illinois State, yeah. Illinois State's decent. They're good. They hung around. NDSU, you know, eventually pulled away. And they're the better football team, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good football game to watch.
South Dakota State and Youngstown State. Well, that was a close one. 35-30, South Dakota State picks up the win. But I think they were lucky to hang on and win that game.
Yeah, another good one. You know, they came back. They were down early, came back. Took a lead, then I think Youngstown scored late to make that 35-30. So, yeah, credit to, you know, South Dakota State winning on the road. They didn't start very well at all. I watched the beginning of it, and they looked really off. I mean, the Chase Mason, the quarterback, was throwing scud balls all over the place. They were kind of off, but then they kicked it in gear and got out of there with the win.
South Dakota beats Murray State 49-24. Probably not a shock there, even though South Dakota trying to figure things out.
Yeah, it's good. Probably good that they're – it's a good sign for them, though, that they're blowing out. You know, they blew out Drake, blew out Murray State. Okay. You know, I mean, that's – if they were to struggle with those two, okay, now they're really worried. But, yeah, that is, I think, gave them a little relief down in Vermilion.
Southern Illinois, they put up a 55 on Indiana State, 55-27. It's a lot of points, regardless of who you're playing.
Double nickels, yeah. No, Southern Illinois is looking good. That's going to be a tough one. We got them coming up here on the road. That's going to be a tough one for us. They're looking like a top 10 team, and they got NDSU this weekend up here. So we'll see what they're made of. But they're putting up points, no doubt.
Well, we've hit that part of the show, the Rumors Sports Bar Grill and Casino 360 game preview, 3 o'clock, Youngstown State University. Boy, when we started working our way into the Division I era, Youngstown State, where they were the dudes, right? You know, App State, Youngstown, they were still there, but not a bad program, you know, over the years since we've been in it. They've had a lot of success still, and boy, big challenge for us this week, and it all starts with Bo Brungard, their quarterback, running, scrambling, he can do it all. And now we hear Coach Schmidt say, guess what? He throws better than he did last year. Great. That's all we need. But sounds like our defensive staff is really working on ways to try and slow him down this Saturday.
Have to come up with packages. He's good. Brungard is a hell of an athlete. We saw that last year. Anyone who watched, he had 18 carries for 176 yards and 3 touchdowns against us. In a game we should have won, but we couldn't slow him down. And he equally runs, you know, scrambles. So I wouldn't call it running. I'd call it scrambling and designed runs. You know, they do a little diamond package around him, and he'll run out of that. They'll do a little down-the-line option out of that just to keep – they want the ball in Bo Brungard's hands as long as possible to make plays, whether it's running or dropping back, trying to find the guy downfield. – And his throwing looks great, too. So the guy has improved in the offseason, 6 foot, 215. So he's a load to get down, and he's their guy. I mean, you can't even argue that they are going to win and lose with him every single week. If you shut down Bo Brungard, if you're on him and for some reason, you know, you're just all over him, he can't quite get loose, they lose. It's that simple. They're just going to go down and be like, tip their hat to you. We lose because they don't think you can do it. And he's been unbelievable. 92 carries on the year already for a quarterback in 5 games. And the next closest, I think, is 34 carries on the team. So their running backs are just not really a factor. He's it.
So with our old defensive scheme compared to our new one, is there one that favors more to stopping a running quarterback like this, or is it just like, hey, we're going to have all men on deck and, you know, play assignment sharp football?
Stay in your pass rush lanes, you know, when it's an actual pass. I mean, they don't pass a ton, but when it's a drop back pass, stay in your lanes, because if he doesn't like what he sees after a couple seconds, he's gone. And you got to make him, you know, anyone who's watched, you know, the court, like Lamar Jackson, that type of thing, that's how he plays. And if you have a guy spaced evenly across in front of him and he can't quite know where to get through, that's when you got him. Because now he's kind of going left and right and he's twisting and turning. It's just not the same. It's when you give him one big cavernous lane. I mean, then he's just, you're not going to stop him. And he's as fast or faster than the linebackers are going to be across from him. So what I'm expecting UND to do is use that Rover nickel, the Wiltshire type, as the spy this week. You got to have him hanging around at times when you think, you know, what I'm guessing they did. Tank.
So you kind of move him in like an extra linebacker.
Yeah,
kind of.
He's going to be moving around, and he can do that from anywhere. He can be left. He can be right. But eventually he needs to probably get middle, you know, depending on the call. And I'm guessing they've maybe tried to dial in on down and distances with us, you know, the analytics and say, when are they running him? When are they dropping, drop back passing? Because when they're drop back passing, you know, that's kind of when you want Wiltshire around. Now he's going to be out of coverage, but he's going to be around to pick up Brungard. So, yeah, I think that's what Coach Schmidt's getting at. They're kind of having to dial in when to call what and just guess and hope that their creature's a habit with their play calling. Because, yeah, he's going to get loose. Okay, folks, he's going to get loose, and he's going to run for some yards this weekend. But we got to keep him out of the end zone, because once it gets tight now, you know, you get inside the 30, get inside the 20, it's not as easy anymore.
Yep.
So that's where you got to stop him and hold him to field goals and then get a lead. You know, and here's the other thing. If you get a lead, he's not going to run around as much. He's going to feel like he has to throw it downfield. Now, Tom Zach, the good receiver they have this little number one, Flash Wilson, they call him. He literally flash. I mean, this guy, he's our, like, Kristen Hoskins. He looks like that, and he's quick. They get the ball to him a little bit in space. So they have weapons. This is a good Youngstown team, and this would be an excellent win for UND on the resume, because I think at the end of the year, Youngstown's going to have 6-7 wins. They're better. I think Doug Phillips is, you know, finally getting guys in. You know, they lost a ton a couple of years ago. So last year was a transition year, and I think they kept more of them this year. So they look good. Transitioning to the other side of the ball, Tank.
Real quickly, yeah, though, on that. So if we have to play that nickel spot, more of a kind of a spy, do you feel confident enough with our secondary right now in one-on-one coverage? Have you been happy with that part of our game?
I think they'll be fine.
Where you're like, okay, we'll be fine here if we got to take some guys up. And
I think so. Tom Zach's good. Receiver number four. Very good. 6 foot, 195. You know, craft, kind of a Bo Bellquist look to him. You know, a little thicker than Bo, but, you know, just runs excellent routes.
Yeah.
You know, very well-versed in the passing game. So he'll get open, you know, but I'm not as worried about the downfield passing game. I think we can hold up one-on-one. So they're going to have some hats in the box to show Youngstown some different looks. And eventually somebody's going to commit to this thing, you know, I think, and have about 7 or 8 guys hanging around. Just, you know, once again, spaced out, not all in the box, but just spaced out, hanging around. One-on-one on the corners, one-on-one with the slot guy. If they're in that diamond look, well, then it's a little easier, obviously. But just saying, we're not going to let Brungard run. If he's going to run, he's going to get 3 to 5 yards tops. They're just going to commit to it and see what Youngstown does. That would be interesting to see how the Hawks handle that this weekend.
So this could be maybe a tale of two halves.
Yeah, adjustments. Slight adjustments. You know, like they always say, halftime adjustments are overrated, but they're not really, because they do make adjustments. They always say, we didn't change anything. Yeah, you did. You know, I mean, I know I've talked to the coaches after the fact. It's like, we changed our run fits. Well, that's changing something, right? I mean, they get into the locker room and say, hey, we got to hear when they're running this, a pin pull, whatever, here's how we're going to attack it in the second half. We're changing this, we're changing that. And then that's it, though. You know, nothing whole. They don't make any mass changes. It's all quick, small stuff. But, you know, that would be something where if they don't like what they're doing with him in the QB run game, yeah, they'd make them changes.
Defense 4-2-5, not high pressure defense. Only 6 sacks on the season, and we've talked about Isaac Frickty. Really, you know, I don't think there's a defensive look right now that. You can't feel confident about Isaac's play calling, because especially when Schmitty said that it's awesome when the offensive coordinator and your quarterback are on the same page, right? He said many times, Jerry's like, I knew he was going to call that, right? I mean,
yeah, that was interesting.
That's when things are clicking, right?
Yeah, it seems to be going well. Youngstown, physical defense, okay? 4-2-5, the 5 in the back are physical, handsy group. They like to, you know, we've seen that over the years. They like to clutch and grab, hold, you know, just be physical with receivers downfield. They like to come up and run support. So they're quick to come forward, but not go backwards. Okay, what does that tell you? All right, when I'm hearing that, I'm like, all right, we're going to take some shots. Okay, we're going to take some shots deep. I mean, you may, obviously Fleming comes to mind, but we got other guys that can go deep. DeMontanac, maybe a Caden Dennis, maybe Hoskins, you know, that type of thing. And if they're going to play that way, you have to use it against them, maybe some RPO action. Okay, if they're quick to come forward, you know, once the run game gets going with Sawyer Seidel, little RPO action, and now you're throwing, you know, you're throwing to open windows because they voided it. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. They're good up front. This is, like I said, a very improved Youngstown State team. I was impressed with their tape. They could have very, very easily beat South Dakota State last weekend.
Did you watch any of that? Because yeah, it looked like the first half, South Dakota State had troubles with their offense and then maybe got things going a little bit. Did enough to win, right?
Yeah, they were sleepwalking a little bit. It was ugly right away.
What worked for them offensively?
Yeah, they just got it going. Mason got in tune. He started to look a little better. And right away, he was throwing some bad passes. I'm like, Jesus, kid looks off. You know, I knew he has a rocket arm. I mean, very good quarterback. But yeah, he got it going, and then I think they just settled in up front is what happened. But they end up pulling out the game because they're the number two team in the country. But Youngstown was right there all game. This one is going to be a four quarter. It's going to be a four quarter battle. They're a physical unit. They look the part. I think, like I said, Coach Doug Phillips. He's a good guy. I think he has weathered the storm of portal losses. That obviously can come in that region. When you're in Ohio, you're going to get rated pretty easy with all the colleges around you. So, they're a good team, and a big crowd, a loud crowd, Tank, would be vital this weekend. Like Coach Schmidt said, if you're ever going to come to a game, you know, if you're on the fence, hey, am I going to go to UND football? This is the weekend. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, because it's going to be a heck of a game. There's going to be some fireworks out there. There's going to be a lot of good football players going at it. And if UND gets this one, they go 4-2 on the season, and there's a chance they're in that top 10, which next week the committee is announcing their top 10 at halftime of one of those Maction games or whatever. They like to do that a couple times a year, and next week is the first one. So if UND wins this one, there's a chance they're in the top 10 to get some national publicity. And once you're in, it's hard to get taken out, you know, if you keep winning. So, and for the end of the year, once you're in the poll, we know all that goes. So, yeah, this will be one just an excellent football game.
Did you watch any of that Michigan State game? Boy, I mean, 41-24.
Yeah, they battled them too. I didn't watch any of it. I was box score watching all I was doing. Yeah, back and forth all on ESPN app. And, yeah, they were battling them too. So, like I said, they got the pieces to match up. It's just on offense. If you can slow down Brungard, you got a chance to beat him because they aren't as dynamic downfield. But if you don't stop him, then all of a sudden everything seems to be unbelievable for them, and it just kind of falls apart. Like we saw last year, we end up losing in, was it double overtime or overtime? I can't remember what we lost that.
I put that one behind me.
I'm trying not to remember. Yeah, that was awful. But
don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so again, we shouldn't have lost.
Looking forward.
Yeah, but we beat them the time before that. But this is gonna be a fun one.
It is time now for that horrible part of the show where we got to put our prediction segment out there. Boy, I went big last week, and I'm glad I did. I just had that feeling. We showed it from start to finish. I'd love to see that team come up, but I know we're playing a better football team this week. Maybe some new looks for some of these guys defensively this week in this system. So I am going to go. It's going to be a four-quarter game. Let's go 35-28 UND.
35-28. Okay, I could see that.
A little more conservative. Yep. I think we're going to win by more, but I'm going to put this out here.
Well, the Alaris Center magic, you got to factor it in. Okay, everything. I don't know what it is, but we always look better at home. And, you know, it's just the way it is. And other teams don't look as good at the Alaris Center most of the time. So you always have to factor that in first, and no matter who the opponent is. But, yeah, I can't say any more about, you know, just the excitement going into this one. It's a great, great home game to have with Youngstown. I think they're a good, solid team. I'm going to go a little bit more low scoring, but I'm with you. You know, I think I'm going to go 28-23. Kind of a random score in there, but 28-23. I think UND, you know, gets the lead, holds on type of thing. It's going to get a little wild. Could get wild at the end, I'm seeing, with Brungard trying to run around again and make something happen, get him back in the game. So stay in your seats. Should be a good one. But, yeah, 28-23 Hawks go to 4-2 and hopefully enter the top 10.
And when we're on defense, get out of your seats. Come on.
Yep.
All need a seatbelt for the press box because there is no cheering aloud in the press box. And I wouldn't want to test that rule there.
You know, it's more, they need some
great
more
professional staff
drinks
up there.
This week.
No, the drinks have been good, actually.
They have them? Well, I told you that time they didn't have anything. I went over there and it's
get
like
there earlier. I know, come over to my spot. I've got quite the beverage selection going on. I've got Gatorades. I've got pop. Ooh, yeah, maybe a little water.
All. You're the one who took them all.
Apparently. Hey, you know, it's nice to have options, right? Well, enjoy it. I know we will. We'll be up there. Hey, any can koozies left?
I do. I got to get them out to people. I tried last game. I was handing them out as best I could. I was handing them out at Playmakers after the game. So I'm doing my best.
We'll have to maybe meet up, and I'll fill my pockets full, too, and we'll try and hand some more of those out. But we really do appreciate your support. And get out there, get loud, and enjoy the game this Saturday, 3 o'clock, UND against Youngstown State. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you next week.